Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Sustainer, the Holy Spirit, be with you all now and always. Well, welcome to Transfiguration Sunday. Today in our lectionary, on this Sunday of the Transfiguration, it's actually a pivoting point between Epiphany and us heading into our journey of Lent. On these last 4 weeks, we've read from the beginning chapter of Mark's Gospel, in which we have heard the author's presentation and development of God's revelation in Jesus Christ. So far in Mark's Gospel, we heard that Jesus announces the good news of God and proclaims the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And then we hear of Jesus calling his disciples. And then he enters the synagogue and teaches with authority. And he publicly casts out demons and or unclean spirits. And then Jesus enters people's homes. He takes Simon Peter's mother-in-law by the hand and lifts her up. And her fever that has kept her ill and in bed leaves her, and she begins to serve them. Jesus moves from the public eye into our private, personal places. We are shown how Jesus' teaching and healings welcome everyone back into community. Everyone belongs in the kingdom of God. This is the epiphany that the author of Mark is proclaiming. God is manifest in the Son of Man, God's beloved, God's Son, Jesus. Now today we hear of the mountaintop experience. This experience of the disciples as we pivot our attention from Jesus's, as we pivot our attention to Jesus' journey to the cross. And in this mountaintop experience, we again hear, this time, the voice of God claiming Jesus as God's Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Part of these words are the same that we heard back in Jesus' baptism, back in Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Today it echoes, we hear from the clouds, there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And eventually we will hear the passion of the Christ read during Holy Week. "Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was God's Son.'" In this case, the proclamation of Jesus as God's Son has moved from the divine realm to the very human realm of a Gentile Roman soldier. What better way could Mark illustrate that the gospel is indeed being proclaimed in all the earth? So placing a Sunday like Transfiguration Sunday between Epiphany and Lent makes perfect liturgical sense, and biblical sense as well, because it pulls together one of Mark's main points in sharing the good news. But before we move on to Lent, and as we find ourselves on Transfiguration Sunday, my question is, what does the transfiguration of Jesus mean for us today? In light of the transfiguration, how do we understand this transition for us? We have this example of Peter, James, and John, three of Jesus' prominent disciples. And I know in the past that I've said, or at least accused Peter of missing the point of the transfiguration. I assume that Peter was viewing this incredible, awe-inspiring, intimidating seen, and only wished to preserve that moment. He wanted it to last. He offered to build booths or dwellings so that they could stay in God's presence longer. I mean, it's really a natural response, and it's never a bad thing to want to worship and stay in the presence of God for any amount of time. Yet God's presence is shown through a cloud, and the voice proclaims, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." You know, in the time since, Christianity has built many dwellings to worship, in which to gather together, to be filled with the bread and wine of life, to wash away sins in our baptismal waters, to read scripture, to listen to God's word, and to be in the presence of God and of one another. And this is a wonderful thing. But maybe in analyzing the story of the Transfiguration and trying to make sense of the whole mountaintop experience, we miss the fullness of God's love and presence that's actually there. So maybe a better question to ask, in addition to what does the Transfiguration of Jesus mean for us today, is when have we felt and or experienced God's incredible presence and love? And when we experience that, are we open to being changed by it? Or are we preoccupied by trying to understand it? So I want to give you time to ponder that question this morning. We're going to take the next 5 minutes in silence. Ponder. When have we felt and or experienced God's incredible presence and love? Now, I know that some of you don't like to sit in silence a lot. It's okay. We can work on that later. We're going to be quiet, but I have something that might help, and especially those online, because nobody wants to be online in silence. So to help you think about God's love and presence, I thought maybe these pictures might help. If you can't see one of the monitors in our space, please feel free to move so that you can do so. So OSLC has come a long way in the last 65 years. Yes, this May we will celebrate our 65 years of ministry in West Lafayette, Indiana. OSLC has gone through many transformations, dare I say transfigurations? If not just this space here, then at least our addition back in 1996. So what new chapters will be added as we head into an unknown future, knowing that God's presence and love is already there waiting for us? As I bring us back to those questions, what does the Transfiguration of Jesus mean for us today? And when have we felt and or experienced God's incredible presence and love? We ponder what this gift is of transfiguration. Well, the gift of the transfiguration is its clarity of God's purpose for salvation in Jesus Christ. This gift, however, is not an inoculation against further misunderstandings and mistakes. The three disciples with Jesus on the mountain during the transfiguration are part of the group that entirely abandons Jesus as he is arrested and put on trial. I'm sure OSLC has made some blunders, not always made the best decisions or choices. I know I haven't made the best decisions since arriving to OSLC. But the good news for the disciples, the good news for the church, is that in spite of misunderstandings, in spite of hard-heartedness, in spite of our mistakes, the promise of God's gospel offers new opportunities in growing our faith. The women at the end of the gospel are told, "Go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see Jesus, just as Jesus told you." and to us, the church, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of the church's mistakes and hard-heartedness. God's love is continually offered, and we are given the opportunity to be with Jesus in his glory through the ministry of God's kingdom proclamation in this world. Just as Peter, James, and John encountered the resurrected Christ in the midst of their everyday ministry on the road to Jerusalem, so too the church is offered the promise that when we are about our everyday ministry of feeding the hungry, of healing the sick, of including everyone and proclaiming the good news, we too will see Jesus and be with him in his glory. We, OSLC, are lucky enough to do this ministry together. And as we listen to God's word on our journey into an unknown future, the promise of God's glorious life bursts forth minute by minute for those who have eyes of faith to recognize it in the midst of the call to follow our Lord. And for that, I say thanks be to God. Amen.